The lectern was down here when we came, so I said, let's try speaking down here. I'm not standing way in the back that way. I feel like I'm a mile from you guys when I'm speaking to you. So, and as Gordon said, my message today is privilege. It's less privilege being down here than up there. So it's actually a good thing. But I hope everyone's doing well, especially on a day like today. We can't complain. I was talking to Brian earlier, and you know, when it's sunny like this, you know, who can feel down or discouraged? You know, it's just so beautiful outside. So we have those days, and it's in the middle of winter when it's cold outside and rainy and wet, and we get a stretch of 4 or 5 days of sunshine. It makes living in the rain all worth it. The title of my message today is Privilege. What is it? What does it mean? What comes to your mind when I say the word privilege? In this congregation, how many of you here feel that you are privileged? Let's have a show of hands. Okay, we have a few. How many feel you're not privileged? How many don't know? How many didn't raise their hands? So for those of you that raised your hands where you feel you're privileged, how do you feel you're privileged? Any responses?
God's Holy Spirit.
God's Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God in us. Any other ways that we are privileged? Physically? Okay. Yeah, we have everything we need more physically. Freedom? Any other ones? How we're privileged? Yes? Sorry? We are loved. That is a great privilege. Any other ones? We have many privileges, don't we? Privileges, I like it as one person put in this next slide. Privilege is when you think something is not a problem because it's not a problem to you personally. Many times when we have a privilege, we don't think it's a problem if we have a privilege, but it might be a problem to someone else. When I looked in the dictionary and tried to define the definition of privilege, it says privilege is a special advantage not enjoyed by everyone. If you're very snooty, or you probably don't allow, in that case, you probably don't allow anybody just to be your friend. Privilege comes from the Latin privilegium. I don't know if I spelled it right, said it right. Meaning a law for just one person. It means a benefit enjoyed by an individual or a group beyond what is available to others. Another slide here. Privileges. You're entitled to food, clothing, shelter, medical attention. And those are privileges we enjoy in Canada. Anything else you get is a privilege. Like, those are things we are in some ways entitled to in this country. We have all those things. And if we have other things beyond that, those are our privileges. Another definition of a privilege, a right or immunity granted as a particular benefit, advantage, or favor. Prerogative, especially such as a right or immunity attached specifically to a position or office. Some of you are privileged to have jobs. Maybe you're a manager in a job. Maybe you have a very good job. I like how the next slide shows the aspect of privilege. In this case, we have one person running a race, and we're all running a race in life. And the other person on the right side there, they're running a race, but they have a ball and a chain and around their ankle. And they're running through barbed wire fences and crocodiles and climbing walls. And he says to the other person, "What's the matter? It's the same distance." And it is the same distance. We all run the race, but because of privileges, we have a difficulty of not being equal. For some, the race is much harder, isn't it? For some, when they run the race of life, depending on what barriers are in the way, it's a more difficult race. There's a lot of talk on social media about privilege. Privilege is defined as a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or a group of people. You could say privilege is sometimes an entitlement. We're entitled or privileged in some ways. Anyone who has ever flown has seen the privilege status of traveling first class. You've seen that. You go to the airport and everybody's lined up. Okay, all those who are first class members or whatever, you get to enter first. And so they let all those people on first. And usually by the time the others come on, the people are already being served a drink and some other snacks while other people are boarding. And that is a privilege. Not only do they board first, they're often served a drink while the rest of us are boarding. And then later in the flight, when you're confined to a little tight space where your knees don't actually, I know I have a problem with my knees usually bumping into the seat in front of me and trying to fit. You're in a tight space and eating pretzels and drinking soda out of a plastic cup. You see first class passengers in comfortable seats being served hot meals in glassware and real utensils, steel metal utensils. Privilege, well, it has its perks, doesn't it? Privilege is attractive, but it also can be seductive. We often find ourselves against privilege when others have it and we don't. But when we have it, it feels pretty nice, doesn't it? When we have a privilege that others have, it feels pretty nice. Privilege is often used as a negative label. Privilege can be gender. You have a male privilege if you're going to be an auto mechanic. You don't see many females in being mechanics. A female privilege if you're going to the nightclub. Females get special privileges going to the nightclubs. Then there's a privilege associated with every culture, depending on, of course, what culture you're in. Privilege isn't necessarily bad, and it's not necessarily good. The question is, how do you act when you have privilege? How do you respond to others when you have special privileges? How do you treat others who appear to be less privileged than you? This is an important question for Christians because as followers and believers in Christ, every one of you here is privileged. We are privileged to know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many in the society around us don't have that privilege. And sometimes as Christians, we can set a negative tone to others who don't have that privilege by snubbing them because they're not a believer. But being a Christian is a special privilege we've all been given. We are privileged to call Jesus our elder brother, our friend, when many don't know him and don't know that he's there to help us. We are privileged to have a hope, a future, peace, security. Even though the world around us may fall apart, as believers in Christ, we know, as it says in Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good to those who follow Christ. How do we respond to that privilege? When those with privilege expect to be treated better than those without privileges, we face problems often called pride. When if we are privileged and we expect others to treat us a certain way because we're privileged, pride can creep in very quickly. And pride is something we all struggle with at time to time. Privilege, if not kept in the proper place, can lead to looking down on others or leaving others out altogether. Jesus knew this, and many passages are written in the Bible about privilege. And I'd like to focus on one particular passage today, the parable of the wedding feast, found in Luke 14, as Greg covered in Speaking of Life. In Luke 14:1, we read, on one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. A couple of things to point out here. Jesus was in the house of someone who was privileged, someone who was considered privileged or high up in the Jewish climbing the ladder, a prominent Pharisee who had invited some guests over for lunch. Notice also, he was being watched. The Jews were watching him. They wanted a reason to judge and condemn him. He's going to this special house here, and they wanted to judge him. We go on. Jesus continues in verse 7 of chapter 14. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by somebody to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone who is more distinguished than you has been invited by the host. And the host who invited both of you may come in and say to you, give the person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say, "Friend, move up higher, move in beside me." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For he says, continues, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted," as the next slide shows too. Jesus was in essence teaching his disciples a lesson in etiquette, teaching them something that it's a problem. It was a problem then. It's a problem through the ages. It's still a problem today. The host of the party was a Pharisee, a member of the religious elite that they didn't talk to, the lower echelon. He considered himself one of the privileged, as is often the case. People like to sit next to the one who is privileged, so it gives them a little more status, makes them feel more important. In this etiquette lesson, Jesus is telling us to think of others first. If you chose the best seats, you may be asked to move. That would be humiliation, wouldn't it be? And as you are moved to a lower seat, it would not be very enjoyable. To exalt yourself is to assume that you deserve a higher spot. So if you go and choose that best seat beside, you know, let's say the Pharisee in that case, you're saying, "I'm better than all these people. I deserve to be sitting here." You cannot exalt yourself without comparing yourself to others and determining that they are not as exalted. They shouldn't be as exalted as you should be. So there's a big pride issue here. It's not just about shaming yourself, the issue here. It's about judging others as being less than you also. When that person took that position, he was saying, "Well, I'm more important than all these other people. I should be sitting beside this person." What were the guests trying to say about themselves when they chose the chief seats? What does it say about you when you choose sometimes the best places and let others, you know, be uncomfortable? When I read this passage, I can imagine, and you can think about it, what the embarrassment must have been like when the host comes and says, "Could you please move down here? I have somebody else sitting in this seat." That would be pretty embarrassing, wouldn't it? Very uncomfortable. You see your sense of guilt and impropriety. What happens when you exalt the self? We see things like this happen. Now, you would hope that good Christians are above all this. And you think that most Christians are above all this. But look at the disciples in the first century. It was years after they were walking with Jesus. The mother of John came up and said, "Well, I would like my two sons, one to sit at you on the right hand and one on the left in the kingdom." And suddenly all the disciples are squabbling among themselves. No, I want that seat. I want that seat. These are committed Christians that were following Christ. And you may think, well, is it any different with us? Think back when you were a child. Well, Sammy got the bigger cookie. I wanted that cookie. Or I wanted to sit in that seat. And, you know, it starts at a very young age. We are human. Or my friend got the promotion and I didn't get anything. I didn't even get a raise at work. You know, we are the same way. And those things happen. And it's human nature. We always want a bigger piece of the pie and more. Jesus' etiquette lesson goes far beyond where to sit at a meal. Could this be about judging others as less than ourselves? Maybe because of their beliefs. Maybe this person doesn't believe like I do, so I'm better than them. Could it be a lesson in how long maybe we judge them or prejudiced against them because of their longevity in the congregation? Well, I've been here 30 years, you know, and they're only been here a year, so I deserve a little better. What about their status in society? What about their doctrinal understanding? Oh, I understand Trinitarian theology. I'm very knowledgeable, so everybody else doesn't understand it like me, so I'm special. You know, these are all things that can creep into our mental psyche and can hurt and destroy us. We can judge people's lifestyle. We can look at their sins and we can say, well, look at their sins. I'm not as sinful as them, you know. It's easy to do. This comes up. You know, we judge other people's sins, but sometimes we don't see the big stick hanging out of our own eye, the big plank that's coming out of our own eye. We see everybody else's sins, but we don't see our own. Perhaps those people would be lifted up to a higher position because God knows their hearts. And we shove them down to a lower position because we don't know what God has done in their lives. These are all areas where we, oftentimes we can think we are privileged or more privileged than others. Privilege can cause pride within us without us even knowing it. Pride is a huge, powerful thing, and many verses in the Bible talk about pride. And just some of the examples here on the slide. Pride is a huge issue. What are some of the signs of pride? And as I was doing this message, I came across, it's just, sometimes it's interesting to see the timing that I was reading somewhere, and I just came across this article that just fit right into my message. I'd like to just share some of the signs of pride. Do you look down on those who are less educated, less affluent, less refined, or less successful than yourself? Do you look down on others because they don't have their act together like you do, because you got it all together? Do you think of yourself as more spiritual than your mate or others in the church? Do you think, well, I've got it together, but my mate, they don't really have it together? Do you have a judgmental spirit toward those who don't make the same lifestyle choices that you do? Maybe their dress standards are not what you would like, and so you judge them. How you school your kids? Entertainment standards. Are you quick to find fault with others and to verbalize their thoughts to others? Are you quick to look at someone and say, okay, you got a problem? Again, it's like, but we don't see the problems that we have. Do you have a sharp, critical tongue? That's another sign of pride, where you're very quick to criticize other people, but we don't see our own faults. Do you frequently correct or criticize your spouse, your pastor, or other people in positions of leadership? Maybe it's your boss at work. We're very quick to criticize others, and we don't see, you know, faults that we have. Do you have a hard time sharing your real spiritual needs and struggles with others? When we have pride, it's hard to let others know that we're human beings. But oftentimes, your greatest friendships are people who share their weaknesses and the struggles that they face, because what is your first thought? They're human just like I am. They make mistakes just like I do. Do you resent being asked or expected to serve your family, your parents, or others? Do you become defensive when you're criticized or corrected? Most of us don't like correction or criticism, do we? But sometimes that correction or criticism is legit. It's what we need. Are you a perfectionist? Do you get irked and impatient with people who aren't perfectionists? Do you get bothered by people who aren't as perfect as you or me? You know, those are questions we need to ask ourselves, because oftentimes a perfectionist has a lot of issues with other people because they judge those people as not being, having their life together or not being, doing very well. Do you tend to be controlling of your spouse, your children, your friends, and those in the workplace? It's like, well, I know better than them, so I got to show them how to do it. These are all areas where pride can jump in and creep in quite quickly. Does your husband feel intimidated by your spirituality, or your wife? Does your spouse feel intimidated because of your spirituality? It might not be spirituality, it might be somebody who feels you're more privileged. Do you talk about yourself too much? Do you get hurt if your accomplishment or your acts of service are not recognized or rewarded? These are things that come up in the job, they come up in church. Some people pour their heart into something, and sometimes it doesn't get recognized, and they get all bent out of shape because they say, I deserve acknowledgement. I deserve recognition because I did all these things. Do you get hurt if your feelings or opinions are not considered, when your mate or your boss is making a decision, or if you're not informed when a change or decision is made? Well, they changed this, but they never consulted me because I have a better opinion. And these are areas of pride that creep in. Do you react to rules? Do you have a hard time being told what to do? Because if you have a hard time being told what to do, it's because you think you're above those rules and you know better than why those rules are there. When was the last time you said these words to a family member, a friend, or coworker? I was wrong. Please forgive me. I messed up. I'm sorry. Those words will go a long ways in making a difference in the lives of other people and ourselves. Anyway, those were some of the ones that I came across in the article, but they're very, very concise in many issues that Christians and people face when it comes to pride in their own lives. Pride and privilege often go hand in hand. Privilege and pride is something the Bible, like I said before, talks a lot about. I've seen many people in the church, you know, swell up with pride and storm right out of the church because they deserve to be better. They deserve more honor. They deserve a better place. And they walk right out of the church. Pride is huge. One of the biggest causes of marital breakups and disputes is what? Pride. People are too proud to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm part of the problem. I messed up. Pride is huge. One of the biggest causes of disputes in the workplace is pride. I don't deserve this. I deserve better. And one of the biggest causes of child-parent relationships problems is pride. Where there's a difficult time to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. To their children. Jesus continues this lesson as we move on to, again, back to Luke 14, verse 12. He said also to the one who had been invited, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. He said, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You know, it's easy sometimes to invite your friends because, you know, they'll invite you back and then it'll be nice because, but invite those people that can't invite you back. And Jesus says your reward won't be given in this lifetime, but it will be given when he returns. Jesus is using these exaggerations here to make a point. We need to be a blessing to others and invite not just those who are on the same level, maybe, that have the same privileges as us. Instead of being proud, we should desire to help others, to help those that can't help themselves. One of the greatest ways we can do this is in the area of hospitality. Hospitality is a huge thing. You know, to invite somebody into your home. You could advance to the next slide if you want there. To invite somebody in your home is a huge place. And hospitality is a way we can reach into the lives of others and serve those that are less fortunate than others and give to them. Hospitality is a way we can make a difference in the lives of other people. And in some ways, hospitality is becoming a lost art in our society because everybody gets so busy. They're in their own world that they don't have time to reach out and make a difference in the lives of other people. Those of us know our true identity as beloved children of the Father. We are also privileged to know many different things. We are forgiven. As human beings, what's our greatest strength? We all mess up, don't we? We know we mess up. But we also know that sin, that error is wiped clean and we are made as white as snow. We are all adopted. We are all sons of God. We are all desired. We are all included, as I know the church has a segment on their website as you're included. And we are all loved. No matter who we are, whatever we've done, we are still loved by God, even no matter how much we have messed up in our own lives. What good does it do for us to seek an audience with others who are equally privileged? Maybe I can understand we want to build friendships, and those things are needed too. Maybe celebrate together, worship together. But our primary focus should be reaching out to help others and understand, you know, reaching out to them because we have privileges that we can share with others. Any privilege we have should be used to serve and bless. And Jesus tells us to love others as he loves us. He gave us his privilege. He gave up his privilege of being God to become one of us. He took on flesh. That's an example for all of us to follow. You know, we have a privilege if we have a voice. If we can speak, we have a privilege. We can use our voice to speak for those who don't. and those who can't speak for themselves. If we have a voice, we can use that to help. If we have resources, that's a privilege. We can use those resources to work, to do the work of the kingdom, to bless others and to help others if we have resources. If we have time, that's a privilege. Some people don't have time. How can we use our time to serve others, to help others, so they see a different side of what it means to be a Christian? Some people judge Christianity very negatively, and it's because of their experience in dealing with believers who seem to be in their own world, in their own status. Those of us who know Christ have a privilege, and how are we using that privilege? To get the best seat in the house or to lead others to that seat? The author of James admonishes us to use our privilege for others. We read in Hebrews 13:1-2, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Hospitality is a way we can reach out to others and make a tremendous difference in the lives of other people. In verse 13, 3-5, "Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." The author here reminds us to remember those who are not as fortunate, those who are in prison, those who are suffering, those who are going through health problems, difficulties, those who are struggling with a job. We are reminded to keep the marriage bed pure. We are reminded to be content with what we have. Why do we do that? Why should we do that? Because we know and understand the wonderful promise God has given us when he says at the end of this slide here, he says, "And never, I will never leave you, and never will I forsake you." God will never leave or forsake us. We have Jesus and he has us, and that's a great privilege, the greatest privilege of all. Because of this privilege, we've been invited to participate in what Jesus is doing on the earth. He sends us into the world to share his message, sharing his love and life with others. And that's one thing. We have an opportunity to do that in a couple of weeks. We're doing a community Thanksgiving luncheon. And we want to use this as an opportunity to reach out to the community around us. And that community around us is your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your families. To invite them to join us. To join us for a Thanksgiving celebration here as we celebrate what Jesus has done in our lives. Brethren, as Christians, we can't be passive. You know, it's easy. That's the easy way out. But as Christians, we need to share the love that God has shown us. Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, was not passive. He spent his lifetime sharing his message, his truth, his love with all humanity. Because he knew how valuable, how important it was. And nothing could shut Jesus up. He was determined to give and share it with everyone. And that should be our view too. When we understand how much we've been given, how much we've been shown, we need to do that with other people and share. So I encourage you to take some of the cards in the lobby and give it to your friends. Invite those people that you say they would never come. Because I've done that a few times, and many times I've been dead wrong. I've invited somebody and said, "But it's a waste of time." And that person was the person that came. Because we don't know who God is working with. We don't know who God is calling. So make sure you do that. We read also in Hebrews 13:15-16, "Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have." Another, to share what we have. Maybe physical things, but also share the truth that we have with others. "For such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Notice again verse 16, as we see in this next slide. "Do not neglect to do good, to share what you have. For these are sacrifices are pleasing to God." These are things we need to do as believers. We are expected to help and reach out to other people. So how can we come alongside those who are underprivileged and underserved? We can do this as believers in Christ. All of you who know Jesus Christ are privileged. We may not be on the same page when it comes to things we have or things we do, you know, things like that, or families, but we are all privileged to be a believer. To know our future, to participate in sharing Him with others. When we share the gifts God has given us with others, we're sharing a hope, a peace, and a love that He's given us with others. And it's a way we can also bless others. And that's God's way, sharing with others. That's who He is. And that's the way of the kingdom. It's a true privilege to honor, to love, to serve, to praise, to worship, and to share with those that the Father loves. Because as we know, we're here, and it is a privilege to be here. But the Father and Christ, Holy Spirit, they love all mankind. No matter how much they've messed up, no matter how much even they've hurt us, the Father still loves them. So there's an opportunity for us. So if you bow your heads, we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for the opportunity to come into Your presence, to Your throne room. We thank You for all You've given us. We truly are some of the most privileged people on the earth. Even living here in North America, we have so much. And we have, those are just the physical things. But as a believer and follower of You, You've given us so many privileges that we can't even name them and count them. Help us, Father, to be overwhelmed, to use our time, our lives, our energies, our resources to serve You, to share the joy that You've given us, to share what You've done in our lives, and help us to have Your Spirit guiding us in every way so we can be effective vessels in carrying on Your work here. As You sent Your disciples into the world, You are sending us. So thank You for all things now, and we again are thankful for a special meal we're about to have. We ask Your blessing on the potluck we're about to have, and we ask that Your blessing on the food give us health and strength, and help us to have Your guidance in every way, and bring us back safely next week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.